14. Matthew chapter 10, our focus tonight will be on verses 5 through 15, so we will begin the reading in verse 5. Before we hear God's word, let's go to Him once again in prayer. Please pray with me. We praise You, O Lord, our God, for You alone are Lord, and You are our Lord and our God. We thank You, Father, that You have given us Your word. We thank You, Father, for the power of the word in the lives of Your people, for it gives us life and it restores dry and weary souls that must meander through this desert of darkness. And so we pray, Father, that Your word would be a light to our path. We pray that even as You give grace to orphans and widows like us, we pray, Father, that You would be gracious to us for the preaching of the gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 5, beloved, this is the word of God. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." This is the word of God. Now, this section records the sending out of the 12 apostles whom Jesus had called to Himself. We looked at that last time. He called these 12 men to Himself, and then He sends them out on a mission. Now, what is important here is not so much the sending out of the apostles, though that is important. In fact, that's what the word apostle means, sent out ones. It's not that these apostles are sent out, though that is important. But what is important here is the content of Jesus' speech to them, which in the Gospel of Matthew goes to the end of the chapter. So we're going to be dealing with this speech of Jesus to the apostles for a little bit. Jesus talks about much in this speech, but here in this first part, He focuses on the work of the apostles in their initial sending mission. This is just an initial sending that the apostles are taking part in. Matthew emphasizes the 12 here. Jesus is talking to the 12. In chapter 11, we see this. Chapter 11, verse 1, when Jesus had finished instructing His 12 disciples. And so Matthew has us focus on what Jesus is saying to these core 12. But we know from another gospel, from Luke, namely, that others were sent out in a similar fashion. In fact, 72 total were actually sent out at one point, and a similar speech was given to them, if not the same speech was given to them. And so we know that other men, other individuals went out as Jesus sent them out, not just the 12. Now, the reason I point this out or point out the 72 in Luke is that they went out and they did the work of ministry and returned. And they said this, "Even the demons are subject to us in Your name." So they went out, did some work, and came back. Well, so too the 12 apostles. They went out and returned at some point. And so it's assumed here that the 12 were sent out on a mission to Israel, an initial mission, and returned to Jesus to possibly report on what had happened. Now, their work would not be done, of course. They would not do all that Jesus was calling them to do in one sending out mission. Their powerful ministry in the name of Christ continued in the book of Acts. If you read Acts, that's where much of the apostles' work in the name of Christ was done and recorded. That was after Jesus had returned to the Father. But before this, of course, this was before Jesus is crucified too. Before this, there was an initial sending, as we see here, while Jesus was still on earth. In the next part of the speech, Jesus instructs his disciples about the future, essentially telling them that this is what life and ministry will be like after I'm gone. And so next time, the next couple of weeks, we'll see Jesus putting more emphasis on things that will happen in the future, meaning things that will happen once he has departed the earth and returned to his Father. But here, Jesus talks about the 12 disciples, their initial confrontation with the house of Israel. They are going in Christ's name, and so they are confronting Israelite homes with the gospel initially. The families of Israel in Jesus' day, they were being presented here with a decision. Judgment was coming, and it was coming because of their unbelief. Verse 15, Jesus mentions the day of judgment. The families in the city of Israel who reject the gospel, who reject the gospel ministry from the 12, they will suffer a punishment worse than the punishment that Sodom and Gomorrah suffered. Now, these were Gentile cities who were raised by God himself. They were punished with sulfur and fire from heaven for their unbelief. And so a moment of decision is coming before the families in Israel. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah are mentioned in these cities. They're mentioned in the Old Testament. They are mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New, as we see here, as being model cities. They are poster childs, as it were, poster children, for godlessness, for sinfulness. They are model cities for wickedness. These cities led the way in perverse paganism and sin and all types of immorality. Because of this, because of their wickedness, God rained down sulfur and fire from heaven upon them and completely destroyed them. He flattened these cities. Now, it's frightening to think what could be worse than that. What could possibly be worse than sulfur and fire coming down from heaven? But that's what Jesus says. It will be worse. For who? For unbelieving Israel. Because they had the great privilege of receiving God's word. It was also from their lineage that the Messiah was born. The Savior of the whole world had just been born in Bethlehem during this time. He had grown up. He called disciples to himself. He was calling all of Israel to himself through the apostles' ministry. And so judgment was upon them. And now was the time to be saved. He sends these 12 out as his ambassadors. Israel, up until this time, had reveled in her unbelief. She had become comfortable. But now was the time to repent. Today is the day of salvation. And it was for Israel at this time. Now, Jesus tells the 12 to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or to preach that the kingdom of heaven is literally standing at your doorstep. And it was in the person, the work of these apostles. They would be knocking on doors, standing right in front of them. There is the kingdom of heaven right in front of you. Well, Jesus here talks about the apostles staying in the homes of Jewish families while they do ministry. As they traveled through Israel, they would have to stay in people's homes. And Jesus talks about this. He says there were only two options for these homes and the families who lived there. They could either, one, reject the gospel of salvation, or two, receive it and welcome them in, invite salvation into their homes by fully welcoming these 12 apostles and their message, receiving their message. Those were the only two options. There was not a gray area, as if, well, let me think about this some more. It was either accept it now or you reject it. That was the option for them. The ones who welcomed the disciples, the believing families in Israel, were the ones that Jesus says are worthy. In other words, they considered it an honor to show hospitality to the disciples of Jesus. They considered it a great privilege to welcome these men into their homes because they represented the Messiah and his message. In fact, welcoming them into their homes and welcoming their message was like having Jesus himself with them. It was like putting a roof over the head of Jesus himself. That is what it means to be considered worthy. They thought it an honor to do this type of thing. They are the ones who receive and listen to the words of these apostles. Well, what words would they be saying? Well, it would be their preaching about Jesus, of course. They wouldn't show up and say the kingdom of heaven is at hand and then say, we are the leaders of the kingdom of heaven, or we are the ones that you should look at. They didn't point to themselves. They pointed to Jesus, who is the king, the only true king. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at your doorstep because Jesus is here. We come in his name. And so the words that they would either reject or receive were the words about Christ, their preaching of Jesus. They would echo Jesus' preaching, no doubt, in their own preaching. They would be saying things like Jesus had said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so they would point to Jesus. They would echo Christ's teaching, that they would all point to Jesus Christ and his work. And as confirmation that these 12 had the authority to preach and to proclaim such a lofty message, right? This is salvation is upon you. This is the message of all time, of all the messages that these families had ever heard. This is the one that they were to really listen to. But who are these men? They show up at the doorstep of families, and how are Jewish families to regard them? Are they to question their authority? Well, these 12 had the authority to preach and to proclaim the kingdom of heaven, and they were given confirmation that they had this authority by Jesus giving them a measure of his authority and the power of his Spirit. And so he gave them a portion of his Spirit, a measure of his authority, so that they could confirm their preaching with those miracles. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. These men actually did this in the power of Christ, in the name of Christ. And so Jewish families would see this and they should recognize that these men do belong to Christ. They're ambassadors for him. Now, it would be good here to be reminded that the extraordinary gifts of the Spirit that they had to heal, cast out demons, they were tied to their office as apostles of Christ, and they were tied to their time in history. And so they were temporary. Those gifts to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, these were temporary gifts given to the apostles for a time to confirm their preaching. These men were not us. They physically walked with Jesus. We have never physically walked with Jesus. They would be eyewitnesses to his resurrection. They were given extraordinary gifts to accompany their preaching, to give evidence and proof that they were ambassadors of Christ. In fact, Jesus calls the ability here to do miracles and to preach as free gifts. Verse 8, he says to them, "You received without paying." That is to say, you freely received this authority. You didn't earn it. I gave it to you. Therefore, you are to receive without pay. You received freely. You are to give freely. Or rather, you are to give without pay. You receive freely. You are to give freely. Now, this is important because if anyone, again, we looked at this last week, but if anyone, again, claims Christ and takes to himself the office or name of apostle, which people still do today, there are still churches where that title is used for the leaders in the church. If people do this, or they claim to have similar gifts of healing, performing miracles, whatever it may be, they are liars. The office has passed away, and these gifts have passed away. That person, he or she, is seeking rather to bring attention to themselves rather than to God's word. That's why they do that sort of thing. But once the apostles had written down the word of God, the New Testament, and after they had passed from the scene in history, these extraordinary gifts that are being discussed here, they are no longer needed. We have God's word, which is more sure, as Peter says, more sure than these gifts of healing and raising, even raising the dead. We have something that's more sure than that. And so these gifts are no longer needed. They are no longer present in the church today. They were temporary. Now, if there are not apostles anymore, then what do we have? Well, we have God's word, and we have preachers and teachers of God's word. That is what we have today. These men do not bring attention to themselves, but they bring attention to the writings of the apostles. These men are given gifts by the Spirit to do this, to bring attention to the word, to draw out from the word in their preaching and in their teaching the glory of Jesus Christ. And so that is what we have today. We don't have apostles, but there are still preachers and teachers of the word of God. But nevertheless, for us today, again, these miracles remind us of what will take place on the last day. Verse 15, the last day when the kingdom is consummated. On the last day, God's people, you and I, sitting here today, we will be forever healed, physically and spiritually. We get a preview of this in these miracles. You will no longer deal with physical pain and suffering on the last day. You will no longer deal with the oppression that comes from the evil one and from demons, from the spiritual realm. You will no longer suffer spiritually, internally, physically, whatever it may be, on the last day. That is what we look forward to, and we get a preview of it here when Jesus was on earth through the miracles that these apostles performed. Now look at how Jesus refers to these believing families and cities in Israel at this time. Verse 6, they were referred to as the lost sheep of Israel. The ones who receive the apostles' ministry and listen to their words, they are sheep. That is who we are, believers. And these sheep were lost because they had no shepherd. They were not being cared for properly by the Jewish leaders at the time. They were not being protected, spiritually protected. They were lost. And so these apostles were going out to find them, to find the lost sheep and to give them the care of Christ. Now, notice what happens for these families who welcome the preaching and healing ministry of the apostles into their homes. Verse 13, Jesus says, if the house is worthy, or again, if the house considers it an honor to receive your words, let your peace come upon it. Now, Jesus wasn't just referring here to politeness from the apostles or a cordial attitude from these men. That's not, although I'm sure that's what they gave them. He was referring to the peace of salvation. The very peace of Christ would rest upon these Israelite families forever if by faith they received the apostles' message. An everlasting peace between God and man and between man and man, one another, would enter into their homes. It would enter into the lives of these families who received the gospel. Well, friends, it's the same for us today. If you have, by faith, received the gospel message, repent and believe in Jesus, that is part of the gospel message, then an invincible and abiding peace has entered your home, never to leave again. That is what happens when you come to Christ by faith. Let your peace be upon it. Peace. Is that not what mankind is after? That is what enters our homes when we receive Christ as our Savior and as Christ's sheep. Once we have that peace, we would do well to continue to cultivate that peace, right, between one another. Right? We are to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall receive peace as well. We are to do that which makes for peace. On the other side, though, were the families in Israel who knew of the Messiah. They had accesses to the promises of God about him. They were familiar, in other words, with the Old Testament promises. These are not Gentiles. These are Jewish families who had God's word. They had access to the sacrifices, the temple. They had all of these wonderful things that God gave them. And yet the apostles show up and they reject their message. They reject the Messiah. And they did this because of unbelief. And so because of unbelief, they reject the ministry of the apostles. Verse 14, if anyone will not receive you or listen to you, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that town. Now, this sign here that Jesus mentions, it was taken from Jewish custom when the Jews would leave a Gentile country or a Gentile region. Perhaps they had to travel there for whatever reason. When they would leave that country to return to the land of Israel, that is the geographical land of Israel, they would shake off the dust from their feet, from their sandals. Why did they do this? They would do this so as not to bring any of that polluted grain of dust from the Gentile lands into the Holy Land of Israel. And so, they could not have any affiliation with the Gentiles. So strict and rigorous were they in their beliefs about their separation from the Gentiles that they would even shake off the dust from their land before they went back home. In other words, Gentile soil was filthy, or they regarded it as filthy, and they didn't want anything to do with it. They were cut off from fellowship or contact with Israel. Well, Jesus applies this sign to these unbelieving families and cities in Israel herself. Now think about how powerful these words would be for Jews to hear. Shake off the dust from your feet, not to Gentiles, but to the Jews. The Israelites who rejected the message, they were the ones who would be cut off. They were the ones who were unholy, filthy, unfit to be in God's presence because they rejected the Messiah that had sent these men out. Shake off the dust from your feet. They were filthy. They were cut off from the peace of the Messiah, the peace that comes through belief in him. Now, for these families at this time, friends, this was their last chance. This was their last chance. The Messiah had come. He had come to save the lost sheep of Israel, and he had come to judge the rest of them. This was, for them, the last moment. This reminds us, friends, that there is a day coming when there will be no more opportunities to repent, like these families in Israel. For those families who do not believe, there is a day coming when God's mercy will end. The chance to be redeemed will be no more. There will not be another chance. And so if there is anyone here tonight who is still on the fence about receiving the words of Jesus, these words are for you. Repent and believe. Today. Today is the day of salvation. You should not wait. You do not know how much longer you have. This is what was happening for real families in Israel who were doing everyday things. And here the apostles show up and it's their last chance. There's a day coming when that kind of thing will happen for all people, everyone on in this world. Receive the words of Jesus. Repent and believe in him. Welcome true peace into your heart and life. This is the message of the gospel. Now, God lavished upon Israel proof after proof of his mercy and his goodness, and they would not come under his care. And this is why their punishment, Jesus says, is worse. It's worse than the Gentiles, because the Gentiles didn't have what you have, Israel. The Gentiles were not given God's word. They were not given his promises. They were not given the sacrifices. You were, and yet you still remained in unbelief. So it will be worse for you. Now these 12 apostles, we should remember, represent the church. They represent the New Testament church, this new body of believers that would take the gospel into the world. Today, even though there are no apostles, there is still the church, though, and there will always be a church. Today, the church that is in possession of the gospel, families come into contact with the church. And they come into contact with the ministry of the church and the ministry of God's word through the church. And so they too must decide. People come into contact with Christians in the church. And in that way, they are coming into contact with the message of the gospel. And they then must decide. The communities around us, the families must decide. The decision must be made about Jesus in the same way that these Jewish families had to decide. And it's our job, friends, to be faithful and to make the gospel that we represent attractive. Make it attractive to the world. How do we do that? Through our obedience. Our obedience to the gospel and our love for one another. That is what makes Christianity, the message of the gospel, attractive. There's peace there. That is what the world should see. They have a peace that I don't have. They have a peace that I don't know. That's how the world comes into contact, really, with Christ himself. Now, last thing here. Jesus told the 12 apostles not to bring anything with them on this initial mission. No silver or gold, no bag. They didn't need an extra tunic or extra shoes, etc. Rather, they were to depend upon the free giving of the sheep. They were to depend upon the free gifts that would come from the Israelite families to whom they ministered. And Jesus says, the laborer deserves his food. The believing sheep in Israel would freely provide for these men. They would welcome them. That's what part of welcoming the apostles meant and the message. It would mean they would welcome them, offer up their resources for them, because they knew that the service that they brought was highly valuable. And so the apostles would receive from them, or what the believing sheep in Israel would do, they would provide food for them, clothing, new sandals if they needed it, money. And why did they do this? It was so that the apostles themselves could freely give themselves to the gospel. As the Israelite families gave from their resources, the apostles would give from their resources to preach to them, to minister to them. Well, we see the same principle at work today, friends. Pastors, preachers, they are called to freely give themselves to the ministry of the word and sacrament, shepherding and caring for the sheep. That's what a pastor is supposed to do, to shepherd, to care for the sheep, to preach God's word, faithfully administer the sacraments. And the sheep, as the pastor does that, the faithful pastor, the sheep are called to freely give of their resources to keep the pastor fed, to keep him and his family clothed, to give him a proper home. And at the center of this free giving on all sides, friends, is that peace that comes upon all of us who are involved in this ministry, the peace that comes from receiving God's word. And so in this way, everybody freely gives of themselves to have that peace. And so the pastor and the sheep, just as the lost sheep of Israel and the apostles, they have to ask themselves on some level, how valuable do we consider that peace? How valuable is that peace? For some in Israel, they did not want to sacrifice anything for this peace. They would not give anything up. For Judas Iscariot, who was supposed to give himself to preaching and to teaching the gospel, he did not want to freely give himself for that. He did not want to know that peace. He thought that 30 pieces of silver was more valuable than ministering the peace of the gospel. And so in all of this, friends, decisions have to be made, right? And that is what is before us tonight. In all of this, though, friends, At the very center of it all is the free giving of Jesus. Christ freely giving his body on the cross is how that peace is established. These apostles could not minister peace had not Jesus died. Christ's death on the cross is how true and everlasting peace is established in our homes. And the question for us today is, how valuable do we think this peace is that was purchased by Jesus' blood? Well, sadly, there were many in Israel who did not regard the life of Jesus as valuable or important. May we, by God's grace, not do the same. To Christ be all praise and glory now and forever.